Amen. What a powerful message and song that was. Grace, the love and kindness and the unmerited favor of an almighty God. And what a powerful message. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 5, Romans in chapter 5, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 5. Sometimes and many times, it's just easy to prepare messages and just a blessing when that happens. Other times, it's a struggle. And I think it's a struggle when there's more spiritual warfare taking place. And I know that God wants to speak to each and every one who comes to the doors on every assembly that we have together. And I know I need to be in touch with that so that I can have the message that God wants me to have for the people. And I believe that's why it's a struggle and there's just more spiritual opposition. And I struggled a little bit this week in preparing the message and trying to make sure that it's exactly what God would have for us. And it's a blessing when I know that it is. But at the same time, I know that it was a struggle because we all need this message. And God knew you were going to be here. You might have been the problem for me this week. Amen. You might have caused me to struggle as much as I struggled. I don't know. But it is real. God works through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And don't leave here today without receiving that. Make sure that you open yourself up to what God has for you. I believe the message goes right along with the music, and that's always a blessing, a confirmation. When the message of song, it prepares our hearts for the message from the Word of God as well. So receive it this morning. Romans chapter 5, if you would go ahead and stand with me. We'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for the privilege it has been just being assembled here in this place. And thank you for your presence. Thank you for what we've already enjoyed and the congregational singing and the specials that we've heard. But now, Father, as we have opened up the precious Word of God, that which you have preserved for us, I pray that you would give each one of us insight into these verses that we've read. I pray, God, that you would empower once again the preaching of thy Word. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, in verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 5, we find that Paul reminds us that through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And not only do we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, but we have access by faith to His grace, which allows us to stand and rejoice. Now, I believe everyone here, if you understood that, ought to be saying amen, if not out loud, but inwardly, agreement with that and being blessed by that truth. What a blessing it is to know that we have peace with God only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that faith in Him, we have access to this grace. And it is God's grace that allows us to stand, and it is God's grace that allows us to rejoice. But then we find verse 3. And the Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." We glory in tribulations. Can I tell you this morning that I don't always feel strong enough to face tribulations, let alone glory in them? And I'm the pastor of the church. Can I tell you, I know that you don't always feel strong enough to glory in the tribulations that you face in life and maybe the tribulations that you're facing today. You might not even feel strong enough to be able to face them, let alone glory. That word glory means to praise or to give thanks. Tribulations is distresses of life, afflictions, persecutions, trials. So that means when I face distresses of life, I am supposed to praise or give thanks. When I face afflictions in life, I'm supposed to actually praise and give thanks. When I'm going through some of the persecutions and the trials of life, I'm supposed to praise and give thanks. Well, let me just give you a thought. What if you could? What if it was actually something that just come naturally, something that was within you that whenever, I mean, no matter what it was, no matter what the stresses of life, the distresses of life, no matter what kind of persecutions, no matter what anyone else does to you, no matter what kind of trials, no matter what you have to face in life, just think about it. What if it was inside of you just to be able to say, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. It would be somewhat like that person that can eat anything and everything and never gain a pound. And you're looking at that person, you say, I know I'm not supposed to hate, but I hate you. But you think they can do that if only I could do that. I mean, I gain just watching people eat. You see somebody that can do that and they say slim and trim and in shape and you think, if only I could do that. And then you hear people say how easy it is for them as soon as they go to bed at night to go right to sleep and to wake up just as perky as they can be. And I'm thinking, I hate you. Why can't I do that? Why can't I just, as soon as my head hits a pillow, shut everything else out and go immediately to sleep and not even realize that 8 hours pass and wake up just refreshed and ready to go? I don't think anybody that has a problem with sleeping understands the blessing that would be. Anyone that has a problem with weight would understand the blessing that would be. Amen. But that does not compare to what it actually would be like if we could glory in tribulations. Wow. Too many, and tribulations are a part of life. Too many stress out. You need to come back tonight. We're dealing with stress on Sunday nights. Amen. Just started the series on stress last Sunday night, and we'll continue it this week as well. And how important it is to understand how to deal with stress. It's a part of life. It came upon man with the sin nature of man. But many, when you face tribulation, just stress out. You worry, which causes health problems. And what's the worst is you start doubting God. Questioning God on why in the world did I have to face this battle? Why is this coming to my life? But Paul says, and not only so, the same grace that allows us access by faith to stand and rejoice. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now we find that to be true in Paul's life. I mean, the Bible records for us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 when Paul had this thorn in the flesh and he prayed and wanted God to take it away from him, and yet he didn't take it away from him. The Bible says in verse 19, I'm sorry, in verse 9, in chapter 12, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You're wanting me to take it away from you? I'm telling you to glory in it. And the way you do that, he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul writes, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, he wrote it in the book of Romans. I mean, he was actually given, inspired by God, but he wrote it down. It actually became a part of his life in the book of 2 Corinthians. It's something that he was faced with. He was faced with this infirmity of the flesh, and he was told he would not be healed of that. What are you going to do now, Paul? Are you going to live what you have preached? And Paul says, yes, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in tribulation. In the book of James, we find the apostle James writes to us, and many of you know this passage of scripture, but James in chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, he says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now the 12 tribes, these are believers, and they're scattered abroad being persecuted and faced with a lot of suffering. And he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. What is he saying? He said, I'm telling you, you're facing with these diverse trials and all the different persecutions. And I'm telling you, what you need to learn to do is glory in tribulations. If God tells us to do this, then that means that we ought to be able to do it. Paul was able. It's not only possible, but it is God's will. And if we learn how to do this, then it's going to help us to turn away from stress and worry and doubting God. So how? Go back to our text. It reveals it to us right here. Go back to our text. How is this possible? I don't know how it's possible somebody can eat everything and not gain a pound. I still don't understand that. I don't know how it's possible for somebody just as soon as their head hits a pillow to go to sleep at night and wake and sleep for 8 hours, not to wake up no matter what happens in the room or around the house or in the world, and they're going to sleep no matter what, and they wake up perky. I don't know how that happens. If I did, I would be doing it. But I think I do have a handle on this, because it tells me. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Underline the next word. Knowing. Paul's knowledge of God. Paul's knowledge of God. Two things this morning. First, Paul's faith was in his knowledge of God. This is what he knew, that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul was able to glory in tribulation because of the knowledge, first of all, of who God was or is. If you was here this last Wednesday night, we're going through the study on the life of Elisha. And Elisha had this knowledge, and because of this knowledge, he was able to make wise decisions. He was able to do what no one else could do and have the peace about what no one else had peace about, because he, first of all, knew who God was. Do you have the knowledge of God? Do you truly know who God is? If you would, a passage of scripture that we need to understand and mark down is found in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You have a lot of religious philosophies, and you have a lot of things that are going on in the world today that try to teach you something about who God is when it's not who God is. But the Bible is God's word, and the Bible reveals to us exactly who God is. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith in God, faith in who He is. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, who was born of man but was God. That's what it's talking about there, the virgin birth of Christ. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Listen to me, you have to first of all understand who God is, and put your faith in not only God, our Heavenly Father, put your faith in God, the Son, the Savior of the world, the one who bled for you, who died for you, who paid your sin debt, and offers to you a free gift of everlasting life. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. You can identify with Him because He identified with you in all of your struggles and all of your trials. But not only is He God the Father, and not only is He God the Son, but He's God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit dwells within the believer's heart. He lives within you. That is God in you. No matter what you have to face, no matter what kind of trials, no matter what kind of persecutions, if you know who God is, you know that you have a Heavenly Father, you know that you have a Savior, and you know you have a Comforter that dwells within you. The knowledge of that is what we have need of. The knowledge of who God is. Stop trying to depend upon what somebody has taught you and what kind of religion you focus on or what the philosophies of the world are, and get into the Bible and read what the Word of God says, because God tells you exactly who He is. There is a Trinity, and these three are one God. That's what the Bible says. The knowledge of that. When you're facing those trials, when you're facing those distresses of life, when you're facing those persecutions, do you have the knowledge of who God is? But not only, you can't stop with the knowledge of who God is, but we have the knowledge of how God works. Not only do we have the knowledge of how God works, we have the knowledge of God's mission or purpose or why God does what He does. We have that knowledge. It's available. Whether you have it or not, it's available to you. And if you have that knowledge, all this can be known by knowing the Bible. Not only can you know who God is, you can know how God works. And not only can you know how God works, you can know why God does what He does, why God allows what He allows, why God works in your life and allowing the things that you can know that. And it's the knowledge of knowing that is the first thing to help us to learn to glory in tribulations. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everybody with me this morning? Praise the Lord. It's truth. It's good stuff. 2 Timothy. We're getting off on our own today in society. We're just following religious philosophies, and we're following the ways of man, the thoughts of mankind, the philosophies of man. And we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to what God has preserved for us, to know His will, to know who He is, to understand how God works. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this. As Paul's writing to the young Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Stop listening to all the philosophies of life and stop following after the different religions, and just look to God. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We can know who God is as we look and read the Bible. we can know how God works. You don't know how God works? You need to study the Bible concerning how God works. Do you understand why God does what he does? Do you understand the purpose? Do you understand that God's mission for humanity? God's mission is what he gave the Great Commission to the church. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All should be saved. And what God is working in this New Testament church age is for humanity, all nations, to hear the truth of the gospel, to have an opportunity to confess their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what it's all leading to. That is God's mission in this New Testament church age. That is the purpose. Everything else happens to direct us to that purpose, to that mission. Paul's faith was in his knowledge of God. But then there's something else. And lastly here, as we go back to our text, do you have the knowledge of God? If you really want to be able to glory in tribulation, know God. Have the knowledge of God. It'll help you to know how God works. Satan wants you to think that God's doing something to you that God's not doing in your life. Satan's going to blind you to the truth of God if he can. You got to know how God works. And you got to know God's mission or purpose for this New Testament church. You got to know that. When you do, that is the first step in being able to glory. Praise God, be thankful for tribulation. The second thing we find here, Romans in chapter 5, verse 5. And hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul knew God, but then Paul needed to be strengthened. If we're weak in our faith, we will not glorify God, and we will not glory in as we face tribulations of life. But if you're strong in your faith, you can and you will. Paul drew his strength from a supernatural source. Paul drew his strength from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. The strength to be able to glory in tribulations can only come from the Lord. Not only do we need to have the knowledge, sometimes that's all it is, it's just a head knowledge and you're still not there. You need to have the knowledge, but then you need to have the inner strength to give into that knowledge, to be able to apply that knowledge. Without the knowledge, you can't apply it, but if you have the knowledge, then you need to have the strength to apply it. Amen. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong. If you're going to glory in tribulations, that means you're strong. You have a spiritual strength that is supernatural, that comes by way of a supernatural source. Comes by way of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If it's left up to me, there's no way that I could ever glory in tribulations. But when I have the knowledge of God and I have the presence of God within me, the Holy Spirit strengthening me, then through Him I can learn to glory. Now I can learn because He is revealing to me God's purpose. He's revealing to me how God is working. He's revealing to me the knowledge of God. And as He reveals all those things to me and He helps me, then I can put it into a full picture. I don't have to just focus on this one little instance, but I can have a bigger picture as to what is God is doing. And when I see the big picture of what God is doing, then how can I help but glory. Glorify God, praise God, thank God for His ultimate plan. But you have to have the knowledge, And with the knowledge, you have to have the strength to apply it. And the strength to apply it can only come by way of the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The tribulations that we face have spiritual and eternal purposes. If you're a child of God, can I tell you, if you know God and how He works and His purpose, you understand God would not allow anything to come into your life if there was not a purpose for it. They have spiritual and eternal purposes. If you have the knowledge of God, you can know this. You have the knowledge of God, you don't have to stress out over it. You have the knowledge of God, you don't have to doubt God. You don't have to give in to worry. You can turn all that around and just say, thank you, Lord. Glorify God. Glorify God in tribulation. 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. And we're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes this powerful passage of Scripture concerning the strength that we can draw from in the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you only have that if you're saved. If you're not saved, you can't draw on that strength. But if you are saved, you have His presence in you. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, Paul reveals that it's a treasure. The Spirit of God in you is a treasure. It is valuable, the most valuable treasure that we own. The most valuable thing that you have as a born-again believer is God's presence in you. And so Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now we still have a sinful nature, and we have a fleshly body that we live in, but we have a treasure in the presence of God in us. Amen. And he goes on to say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why aren't you distressed? Because I'm glorying in my distresses. I'm glorying God in my tribulations. Amen. I'm glorying in them. That's what he says here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You understand? This is what the Spirit of God is bringing back to your mind concerning who God is and how He's working in your life and His purpose for it. And now you know who He is. Now you're drawing upon this strength from within you, and you're listening. Being filled with the Spirit of God is yielding to the Spirit of God, and you're listening to the Spirit of God that dwells within you. And He says, don't be perplexed. He says, don't be in despair. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's what God has purposed. You see, you're an ambassador. You are to represent Christ. God is living His life through you. Jesus Christ is living His life through you. You're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And so He says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul says, what God is doing in us is for you to have life, for you to understand this truth. We have the same, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Having that knowledge is that is worth more than what you can understand. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? That's part of glory. Praising God and giving thanks, that the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, it's just no matter what it is compared to eternity, it is light. Our light affliction, whether it's cancer, no matter what it is, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, stop doing that, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. The knowledge of God, and then the strength by yielding to the Spirit of God to understand, I can do this. The Holy Spirit will help you to see this. Based on this, everyone in here, if you're saved, you ought to be able to say, based on this knowledge, based on me yielding to the strength of God that's in me, I can glory in tribulations. Only question is, are you in Christ? Because you have to be in Christ in order to have access by faith to His grace that allows us to stand and to rejoice. Are you in Christ? Only you and God know that. I didn't say, are you in church? I didn't ask you. You're on the membership list. I'm asking you, does Christ dwell within you? If He dwells within you, you have the strength available. All you have to do is make sure you have the knowledge. If you have the knowledge and the strength available to you, there's no reason why you cannot glory in tribulation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. That ought to be enough right there to get you to want to be saved. Not only will it give you everlasting eternal life, it'll give you the strength that you need to deal with this life. It'll give you the help that you're looking for now. You need Christ as your Savior. Then as He becomes your Savior, you need to work on the knowledge that's available to us through the Scriptures. When you have both, what a blessing. What a blessing. It allows me to glory in tribulation. Father, we bow before You now. We love You, Lord, and thank You for, first of all, allowing each one that's here to be here. Thank You for working that out. Thank You, Father, for directing and leading and empowering the message we've heard today. Now I pray, God, with that we would make the right decisions based on what we've heard and how You have spoken to us. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know or is in doubt of their salvation, help them, God, to come to this altar, to get it nailed down, not to leave here confused about salvation, but leave here with the peace of knowing that no matter what takes place in this life, heaven would be their eternal home. God, work in our midst now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.